like iron and gold than they did about people, because there was only a limited supply of iron and gold in the world, whereas there seemed to be more and more people everywhere you looked. It was said mostly by people like Mr. Windling. But they did care fiercely about things. Without things, people were just bright animals. The printers clustered around the doorway, axes at the ready. Choking brown smoke billowed out. Flames licked out among the roof eaves. Several sections of tin roof buckled and collapsed. As they did so, a smouldering ball rocketed out through the door, and three dwarfs who took a swipe only just missed hitting one another. It was Waffles. Patches of fur were still smoking, but his eyes gleamed, and he was still whining and growling. He let William pick him up. He had a triumphant air about him, and turned to watch the burning doorway with his ears cocked.
"That must be it, then," said Saccharissa.
"They might have got out of the back door," said Goodmountain. "Bodney, some of you go round and check, will you?"
"Plucky dog, this," said William. "Brave would be better," said Saccharissa, distantly. "It's only five letters. It would look better in a single column sidebar. No, plucky would work, because then we'd get plucky dog puts bite on villains. Although that first line is a bit shy."
"I wish I could think in headlines," said William, shivering.
It was cool and damp down here in the cellar. Mr. Pin dragged himself to a corner and slapped at the burns on his suit.
"We're entrapped," moaned Tulip.
"Yeah, this is stone," said Pin. "Stone floor, stone walls, stone ceiling. Stone doesn't burn, okay? We just stay nice and calm down here and wait it out."
Mr. Tulip listened to the sound of the fire above them. Red and yellow light danced on the floor under the cellar hatchway.
"I don't like it," he said.
"We've seen worse."
"I don't like it."
"Just keep cool. We're going to get out of this. I wasn't born to fry."
The flames roared around the press. A few late paint tins pinwheeled through the heat, spraying burning droplets. The fire was yellow-white at the heart, and now it crackled around the metal forms that held the type. Silver beads appeared around the leaden, inky slugs. Letters shifted, settled, ran together. For a moment, the words themselves floated on the melting metal, innocent words like thee and truth and shall make ye fear, and then they were lost. From the red-hot press and the wooden boxes and amongst the racks and racks of type, and even out of the piles of carefully stockpiled metal, thin streams began to flow. They met and merged and spread. Soon the floor was a moving, rippling mirror in which the orange and yellow flames danced upside down. On Otto's workbench, the salamanders detected the heat. They liked heat. Their ancestors had evolved in volcanoes. They woke up and began to purr. Mr. Tulip, walking up and down the cellar like a trapped animal, picked up one of the cages and glared at the creatures.
"What are these ing things?" he said,
and dropped it back on the bench. Then he noticed the dark jar next to it.
"And why is it ing got handle viz care on this one?"
The eels were already edgy. They could detect heat too, and they were creatures of deep caves and buried icy streams. There was a flash of dark as they protested. Most of it went straight through the brain of Mr. Tulip. But such as was left of that ragged organ had survived his every attempt at scrambling, and in any case, Mr. Tulip didn't use it much, because it hurt such a lot. But there was a brief remembrance of snow and fir woods and burning buildings and the church. They'd sheltered there. He'd been small. He remembered big shining paintings, more colours than he'd ever seen before. He blinked and dropped the jar. It shattered on the floor. There was another burst of dark from the eels. They wriggled desperately out of the wreckage and slithered along the edge of the wall, squeezing into the cracks between the stones. Mr. Tulip turned at a sound behind him. His colleague had collapsed to his knees and was clutching at his head.
"You're right."
"They're right behind me," Pin whispered.
"Nah, just you and me down here, old friend."
Mr. Tulip patted Mr. Pin on the shoulder. The veins on his forehead stood out with the effort of thinking something to do next. The memory had gone. Young Tulip had learned how to edit memories. What Mr. Pin needed, he decided, was to remember the good times.
"Aye, remember when Gerart the Boot and his lads had us cornered in that ing cellar in Quirm," he said. "Remember what we did to him afterwards?"